tears and had sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I felt I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that He is here and to Him I belong. And through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Well, I've been to lots of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. And there are times when I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, those awful lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was His own. And through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And I thank God for His mercy, and I thank Him for His goodness, and I thank Him for His love that is so true. And when life is full of problems, I know my God can solve them. I know that faith in God will always see me through. And through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Yes, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Through it all.
In 2 Kings in the 4th chapter, there's a story that I'd like to read, but I want to read verse number 6 first before we pray. It says, "And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed." The oil stopped. Why churches die. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this evening for who You are. We thank You for the opportunity to be here again. I thank You, Lord, that there's been some already respond to Your voice, even in this service. God, before I get up to speak, Lord, before I begin to speak, You've already spoken. And Lord, You're so wonderful to us. Lord, You can come in and do in 1 minute of a service time than all the churches put together of man preaching or teaching or whatever man does. You do more in 1 minute than we can do in a lifetime. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our midst, for the souls, Lord, that we have seen lately and the lives that's being changed. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would give each and every one of them strength and courage to succeed, obey your voice, to grow in you, Lord. And Father, we just give you the glory for this service tonight that we're about to hear. And help us, Lord, to act upon the word the way that we should. In Jesus' name, amen. In this story, here it says in verse number 1, it says, "Now there cried a certain woman, the wives of the sons of the prophets, unto Elisha, saying, The servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." That's what they would do in that time. If there was someone died of the family and they owed money, then the other family members would have to go and be their servant and work for them until they paid the debt off. And this woman didn't want her sons to be his bondmen or servants to this bondman. It says, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, What? Where have y'all heard that before? And he said, Go. So often we say, come to the church. But the commission is to go. He said, go. And what's that next word? Borrow. And that's a very important word. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a you. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, bar not a few, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And they all stayed. That's why churches die. Would you stand and we can be dismissed? You run out of empty vessels. Amen. What is the job of the church? It's filling empty lives with God. The church has God. It has the oil of God and the glory of God. And it's our job to go get empty vessels and fill them. Whenever a church dies, it has lost its vision for souls. When a church or an individual die spiritually, that means to me they have lost their vision for souls. Let me tell you, a person that has a vision for the lost will never get cold and indifferent on God. A church that has a vision for the lost will never run out of oil, will never have a dry service, will never get down and out. But a church that has a vision for souls will always be prospering and blossoming, and something is always going to be poured through it from the throne of glory. Amen. A church that is not mission minded is a church that'll die. A church that has not a mind to have outreach or reaching out into the lost and dying world will die. We look at an individual, maybe a couple, a husband and a wife, and whenever they quit bearing children or they get too seemingly old to bear children, then they're getting close to what? Dying. Amen. That's what happens. And it's no different in a church that whenever a church gets to a place that they quit bearing children, quit bearing newborn Christians into the kingdom, they'll die. Amen? That's what we're talking about. This church will die. When we quit birthing new converts, a church will die. He says in this story here for them to go first and to borrow vessels. And he said, borrow not a few. Amen. That word borrow means to inquire. Go inquire. It also means to request. It also means to demand. It also means to beg. It also means to do it earnestly with all you got. Amen? In other words, if they don't want to give you that vessel that's empty, that you can fill it with all, he said, do everything in your power you can to get that vessel from them because you're going to need it. Amen? We don't just go simply to the door and say, you wouldn't happen to have an empty vessel. You could spare me, would you? Amen. But you would, if you knew that there was riches that was going to be able to be filled up in every vessel you go. If I were to tell you tonight, every vessel you bring in here, I'll fill it with $100 bills. I guarantee you all week long, we'd go into our neighbors and we'd go around Walmart and we'd go on our jobs and we'd go everywhere we can. Man, give me an empty vessel. Give me an empty vessel. Well, let me tell you, I'm telling you, there's rewards in heaven. Amen. For everyone we get saved. And he said, go out and get them empty vessels, and God will fill up with rewards. Can we understand it? That's what he's saying. He said to inquire, to request, to demand, to beg. My goodness, my friends, if we really loved our loved ones, we'd be begging them to get saved. Come on. Not just casually go by and just kind of mention it. If you don't have anything else to do Sunday, won't you come to church? No, you need to come to church. You need to get right with God. Time is running out. Amen. You see, what happens is they ran out of empty vessels. The oil kept flowing. And let me tell you tonight, had they had enough vessels to keep bringing empty vessels into that house, that oil in that little pot will still be pouring even tonight as we're preaching. Amen. But what happened, they brought in a few, and it's kind of like the church. We'll get on fire. We'll have a message to stir us about reaching out to the harvest. We'll have some message that'll tickle us a little bit, and we'll get excited, and we'll go out there and maybe tell two or three people, and then we settle back down again. Huh? That's what happens. But we bring in just a few, and boy, we have a good time, and people start getting saved and a little excitement getting back to church. And after a while, we get settled back down and the oil stops again. The anointing stops again. You see, it's not needed. The anointing, listen, the anointing that fills vessels is not needed in a house that's full. Look, if we're all saved here tonight, why in the world do we even come here preaching? I know we're learning, I know we do it at Sunday school, and I know all this. But look, that's not where the anointing is at. The anointing is when there's some room in there that this anointing can get into, this oil can get into. Let me tell you, God is not a wasting God. God does not waste himself on junk. God don't just waste himself. But God will look at a church that said, I want to win somebody to the Lord. And he said, I'm with you and I'll pour out on you. I'll pour out on that church because they're mission minded. They have a vision for the lost. That could be me laying there in that problem. That could be me. But by the grace of God, like I think it was D.L. Moody, he saw this guy passed out, a wine in the gutter, in rags. And he said, but by the grace of God, that's me laying there. If that's you laying there, how would you want that one passing by to react to you? Amen. Listen. Said in Luke 6:19, it says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Virtue was going out of him. How many times did you notice when he was teaching the disciples that it said that? That while he was there with the disciples, virtue went out of him into the disciples. Not one time, did you? Why? Because they was as full as he was. It's kind of like liquid. When there's a, they empty and you attach to it, what happens? This here flows into it and it brings this to this level here. Amen? It has a way of seeking its level. And so it has sought its level. The virtue went out of Jesus when there was empty vessels. But it was flowing into empty vessels. But the virtue didn't go out when he was there with the disciples. Why is that? Because he said in the same chapter there, down in verse 40, he said the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that shall be perfect shall be as his master, on the same level. See, they don't need to be a great anointing flooding in here. I love it when he gives us some grace and we shout around here some and feel good in the Holy Ghost and all this. And y'all know the service I'm talking about. But listen, I'm telling you, if you want the power, if you want the power of God working in our services, then go out there in the highways and byways and bring in some empty vessels. If you get them empty vessels in here, God said, I'll show up and I'll fill every one of them and it'll run over on you. That's where it's at. How many in here has ever had a baby for the first time? Not, I'm talking about men and women now. I'm just talking about coming to your home. Did? All right. How many has got children? Did it bring joy to you? Then that's the way it ought to be when we see somebody born again. And let me tell you, if you're not excited when you see somebody come up with tears flowing down like you've been seeing the last several services of people's lives getting changed, my friend, there's something wrong with you. Maybe you need to come get saved. Amen. That's what I preach for. That's what we live for. God doesn't waste, does he? You remember the story there with the five loaves and two fishes? And he told them to sit down in companies of 50, you know. And Jesus broke the bread and he prayed over it, blessed it, and he passed it out. And after the Bible said they'd all filled, I'll read the scripture to you here. Listen to it. John 6:12. And when they were, what's that word? Filled. They didn't have a little snack pack. They was full. They eat as much as Ed sitting down at a buffet. They was full. Glory. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. God don't waste. And so often we come in, and we've not brought any empty vessels with us when we come. Come on. And we expect the power of God to be in our services. Come on. God said, what for? What do I need to pour out on you for? You're full already. There's no room more for you. I've got you so full now that there's no room. And if I pour it out on you, it's just going to run out on the ground. But he said, if you'll come and bring empty vessels, I'll pour it out in your services. Amen. And it'll run all over you and on them and fill them up and the whole house be full. That's what he's talking about. That's why churches don't die. But if church loses its vision, it's going to die. Listen. He said that none be lost. Verse 13, he says, therefore they gathered them together and fill 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. They had them left over. In other words, they had more than enough. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm telling you, if we could bring every person in here, the next service, bring one person, God will still have enough to feed everybody and still have some left over. Come on, we could all bring 2 next time and God would fill every one of them and have some left over. We could bring all of Somerville in here. I'm telling you, and God's got enough to save all Somerville and have some left over. We could bring Charleston and the Low Country here and God could save them and he'd have some left over. Come on, he can bring all of South Carolina in here, and I'm telling you, God could save them all and have some left over. He could bring the whole United States in here, come on, and save them all and still have some left over. He could bring the whole world and save the whole world and still have fragments left over. God is more than enough. Man, are y'all with me? Don't waste the gospel. Don't waste the gospel. We need some empty vessels. Amen? You know what's sad? How do you measure a service? Anybody know how you measure a service? Let me give you 2 measurements here. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. I'm going by what I heard someone tell me a couple of times before. A good measurement of a service is how much money is in the offering. No, that ain't it. That ain't it. Good measure of the service is the response at the end at the altar. Amen. That's a good measure of a service. Another one is, if when you say dismiss, everybody's jumping in the car getting out of there, it wasn't too good of a service. But if they linger around and you almost have to run them out of the church from talking, that's a good service. That's 2 rules. Good signs. Yeah, some signs. You know. Help us, Lord. That didn't cost you nothing there. I just kind of threw that in. Luke in the 14th chapter, listen to verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I have need to go see it, you know, have me excuse. First of all, that excuse won't hold water, will it? Who's going to buy property and not go look at it? Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them and I pray have me excused. That won't hold up either. You ain't gonna buy no oxen when I go look in your teeth first. You know? And another said, I have married a wife. Well, he come awful close. But it still won't hold water. I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. There is room at the cross for you. It's always room, isn't it? Listen. And the Lord said unto the servant, what's that word again? Go out into the highways and hedges and what's that? And what? Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now, when he said compel them, it goes all the way back over there where Elisha said, go and borrow empty vessels. Go borrow. That same word means the same as compel. Go out there in the street and compel, demand that they come. Don't take their excuses. Amen. Well, they've already got an excuse. Knock every one of them out of the water. Amen? Knock every one of them out. It says, listen, if they say they can't come to church on Sunday and Wednesday because that's the only 2 days they work, they'll say, well, let me tell you, Brother Dave, just good enough, we'll have church on Monday one time for you. Amen? I'll do it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it says, listen, borrow and compel means basically the same thing. He says, go out there and compel them. That means to put constraint upon them. It means to constrain, whether by threat. This is what I'm talking about. We're getting serious. We're talking about people going to hell. We're talking about people that we claim to love that's going to hell. And he says, go out there and threaten them. If you don't come, I'm going to come over and beat the far out of you. No, I mean, whatever it takes. That won't work. Pay them to come then. Pay them to come. Whatever. Look, he says, to constrain, whether by threat. This is what this word means. Now, I didn't write this in the Bible. This is what compel means. Either by threat or entreaty. That means to beg. Or by force. It even talks about bending the arm, twisting the arm behind them and getting them there. Check this out. If you knew that one of your loved ones, you knew this is the fact, that they was lost, and before the sun rose in the morning, they're going to be dead, what would you do? You would not stop. If you knew it, well, it could happen. It could happen. That's like I told that lady that I told you about this morning. And when she told me she never made a decision for Christ, I knew she was on up in age a little bit. I didn't know she was that up in age. But I said, how old do you think you'll be when you die? And she said, well, I don't know. I'm 80 now. You think you could die today? Yeah, it's possible. We don't know, do we? It means by force or by persuasion. Persuasion. We use our persuasion in a lot of things, don't we? Wives. Husbands. Want that new fishing rod, don't you? That's what he's telling us to do. He's telling us to go out and borrow empty vessels. Go out to the highways and go out to where they're at. Amen. Heard a fellow one time and he was giving a motivational speech. And that Bob Harrington, he used to be the Bourbon Street preacher down in New Orleans. And he said he put a little chapel there on Bourbon Street. And he said that he liked to fish some. And he said, think about fishing for Christ and fishing for men. He said, New Orleans is about the biggest fish hole he ever seen. I've been to some neighborhoods of pretty big fishing holes. I've seen some families that was pretty big fishing holes. Amen? Somebody been fishing in the Garrett family lately. Snatching them and cleaning that hole out. Look at Glenn. Got the dogs on him. Amen. The boy ain't got a chance. He might as well give up. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. God is so good to us. All the time good to us. That's what he wants us. He wants us to go out into the highways and the hedges, where they're hiding, where they're at. Amen. And we, everywhere we go, we need to compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Look, you think God is happy tonight to have empty spaces in this beautiful building? Do you think, listen to this. You know, when we was building this building, and we'd already started building this building, I was talking to my dad on the phone, and he says, hey, you know anybody that's looking for some 18 feet long pews? I said, yeah, we are. We'd already started building the building. 18 feet long. He said, it's a church over in Rome, Georgia. They got I don't forget how many it is now. All these plus a couple more. Them up there, and I think got one piece of one in the gym back there. We took it out for that sound booth back there. Y'all wasn't filling it up. Might as well take them out. I think we need to expand the nursery. Y'all ain't filling up. We'll just consume the pews this way. Build it up with nurseries and sound rooms. No. But listen, I said, we are. He says, a church over in Rome, Georgia. And they got them. And they want them, I think it's $3,800 for all of them. You know, I said, we'll take them. Listen, we didn't need all of them when we first moved into this building. Because that was Sunday school room back there then. And it stopped. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was the first pew right there. And the pulpit used to be right here. Amen. But God says, when we was doing this, he said, I want more than this saved. Y'all bring in empty vessels. And we started growing and we moved the pulpit back. Amen. So we got to bring in what? Pews. We got to bring in more pews. We got to bring in vessels, empty vessels. Who said pews? Wake up, Mike. You're usually quicker than that. More pews. More pews. Okay. All right. His vision was further than mine. Okay. Glory to God. God's good, isn't he? Throw something at me. Oh, help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. They built a new building. Built a bigger building. That's what we got over there for. They must have been doing pretty good. They built a real nice building. It was big. It was real big. It was beautiful. Amen. But listen. Over in 2 Kings, listen to this. 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, in verse 14. It said, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take thy bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said unto him, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite it upon the ground. And he smote it. 1, 2, 3. And he what? Stayed. He stopped. He stopped. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times at least. That's what he's talking about. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria only 3. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying that we come to church sometime and we hear a little message that'll get us stirred about our loved ones, about bringing empty vessels in. And we get kind of tingled and get a little bit excited. And we'll go out this week. And maybe we'll be mindful because we heard this tonight, and we'll might witness to somebody or invite them to church. Amen. And we might do it next week or the next, and then we quit doing it. The church will settle back down. We rise up to shout, but we settle back down and we forget the vision of lost souls, and we don't stay mission minded and outreach minded, and the church dies. I should never have to preach a message like this again. The church should stay mission-minded all the time. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother David. Wait a minute. We've been seeing people get saved. Well, how many of them people did you bring? If you brought every one of them and everybody brought every one of them, fine. But I think we can do more. How many believes we can do more? You say, Brother David, you're just after numbers. I'm after souls, man. We're living in the last days. We are to be so that we're beating the ground. We're beating the ground out there for souls all week long. Every chance we get an opportunity, we are to be witnessing them. If you can get them saved out there, get them saved. But if you can't, get them here. Amen. I'm telling you, if I wanted to get someone drunk, I'd carry them to the bar. But if I wanted to get them saved, I'd bring them to church. They stand a better chance in the church. They stand a better chance in the bar getting drunk, don't they? Same way in the church. So get them into the house of the Lord. How many in here wants to be wise? The rest of y'all don't. How many wants to be wise? Listen. He says over in Proverbs in the 11th chapter. He said, he that winneth souls is wise. You want to be wise? Well, Brother David, I'll just do what James says. He said, any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But you know what God's going to tell you? Go out there and win some souls. Because he that winneth souls is wise. Amen? That's what he's telling us. He that winneth souls is wise. Why? Because you'll get a reward. How many likes rewards? I was talking to my brother this week when I was up there. And was riding along or standing at my dad's house somewhere. Anyhow, he said, you know, you can lose some of your rewards. I said, yes, sir. Remember what the Bible says? I had the scripture not long ago. He said that you receive a full reward. In other words, you could lose some of your reward. Well, how you lose some of your reward? Well, there's a lot of different ways. But check this out. Say if you got some rewards up there because you've been doing good work, and all of a sudden you lose your cool, and you blow up, and there's a little debit on your account for that. You didn't sin, but you just lost some rewards. It's kind of like the stock market. Amen? Y'all believe that? You don't have to believe it if you don't want to, but I mean, that's what the Bible said. You know, amen? You can lose some of your rewards. So we ought to always live right. Amen. Keep adding to our rewards. Listen, John 4:35. What did he say? He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. I'm persuaded to believe that every one of us in this room tonight, this week, will walk past someone that needs to be saved. In fact, we don't have to look very far. Even tonight, before we go to bed, some of us will pass by someone that needs the Lord. Say not there yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He said, just look around you. There's people everywhere that needs to be saved. We have got so many tools around this church. We got them little things you pass out. This is your invitation to come to church. I mean, we got Brother David Williams keeps us supplied in tracts that we give out. I mean, it's all kind of ways to reach people that you don't know. But the people you do know, it is easy to talk to them. Isn't it not? They're not going to shoot you. He said, say not there yet 4 months and then come at the harvest. So often we say, one of these days, I'm going to invite my sister to church. One of these days, I'm going to talk and call my brother and talk to him about his soul. One of these days, my neighbor, I'm going to talk to him one of these days. I'm going to talk to this one, my co-worker, one of these days about the Lord. Well, let me tell you, one of these days is now. He said, say not there yet 4 months and come at the harvest. Now is the time. If you want them saved, you better talk to them now. We're living in that last day. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, that's rewards, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. There's a payday coming. That old song they sing sometime, there'll be a payday. There's a payday coming one of these days soon. Amen? And let me tell you, church, every church that is mission. I remember one time that when I was in the storefront, and it was on a Wednesday night, And you know, we don't never receive any offerings or anything like that Wednesday night, unless it's like tonight. We received a special offering for a particular need. And the Lord spoke to me before service, and he said, take up an offering for the mission field. I didn't know no missionaries. I didn't have a clue of any how we could send it anywhere, you know. But I knew the Lord's voice, and we received an offering that night. Well, the next Sunday night, Marcus Tanner was scheduled to preach for us down at the church. And he came, and his dad lived somewhere off somewhere. And his dad happened to be in town, and he came to church with him. You know what he was? A missionary. God knows what he's doing. You think God is mission-minded? Yeah, that's why he said the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We'll say, Brother David, I can't go into all the world. You go into your world every day. Go in all your world at Black's Fish Camp. Go in all your world at the Ship It Shop. Go in all your world in the Sheetrock and the buildings there. Go in all your world at the, where's Dwight? At the place where they're manufacturing them cars. Go in all your world at the schoolhouse. Go in all your world over in Lincolnville Town Hall. Go in all your world at South Carolina Electric and Gas. Go in all your world at the electric company. Amen? Go in all your world as you working on them hair of the people standing, sitting under. Man, you got a captive audience sitting under you for a while. Amen? You need to get John in there working on them. Look here. Go in all your world in the insurance company. We all go in our little worlds, don't we? See, it takes a big thing when he says go into all the world. We think we got to go into Africa and Russia and everywhere right now. No, maybe that'll come. But right now, every little bit of the world we go into, our little space that we go into, there's people that needs to know about Christ. And we're the body of Christ. We're the church. If I get a vision for souls, and you get a vision for souls, you get a vision, and you get a vision, we all get a vision, and we bring in empty vessels, I'm telling you, listen to me. Listen, I'm going to prophesy something to you right now. If we'd bring souls, start bringing empty vessels in, I'm telling you, God is going to show himself. I'm telling you, the power of God is going to be able to come into this building, and we're going to feel such of the power of God in this place, because we're mission-minded. You listen to me. Every time that they picked that other vessel up, there was always oil flowing. But when they ran out, it stopped. And I'm telling you, it's the same way with the flow of God's glory. If we stop being mission-minded or a vision for the lost, it stopped. And we wonder, Lord, where are you at? He said, bring me some vessels that I can feel. That's where it's at, church. If you want to be live, that's what it's going to take. It's not in the preacher. You can pray. I thank you for praying. Say, Lord, set a fire under him and cook him and boil him and let him preach and all this kind of stuff. And I appreciate it. Amen. I appreciate it. I love that. But let me tell you where it's really at. Say, Lord, light a fire under me. Let a fire under me that God, I'll be so after a vision for the lost. Set a fire under me. Glory. What did Chad say? He's waged war on the devil. Kevin's brother told him this week. He said, talking about he got saved last Sunday. He said, I've waged. He said, I lived for the devil long enough. He said, I've waged war on him now. Huh? I love it, don't you? Look at the one next to you and say, be all that you can be for God. Come on, stand with us all over the house. Father, we love you tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for the glory and the power and the wisdom of you. I want to thank you, Lord.